Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, there's no one I know that flies more or gets away more than Peter Greenberg, but that it's his job. He is the host of Eye on Travel. You hear on WGN every weekend. You see his face on PBS all the time. Peter, where are you today?
Today, I just landed in Las Vegas, heading to Dallas tomorrow and then to Paris. I just can't get enough airline miles.
How many miles do you have in any given year?
In any given year, about 450,000, but who's counting?
Wow, that's amazing. You know what I've been intrigued by? Haiti hasn't dominated the headlines, but it is in utter chaos. And
correct.
Of course, there's a thin line between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Is there any concern traveling to the Dominican when, you know, you're right there on the same island?
Absolutely not. We've had situations where Haiti's been in trouble for quite some time, and the Dominican Republic is not affected in any way. The airports there, both in Santo Domingo and Punta Cana, continue to operate without a problem, and no, not a problem at all.
What's happening in Iceland?
That's a different story. The eruptions of that latest volcano forcing evacuations of some very famous tourist sites. He's got a lot of people concerned. Remember, the entire island is volcanic. 80% of the island is actually heated by thermal energy because the earth is so hot below the surface. So we're watching this very, very carefully, and we'll have to just wait because right now it's getting very, very close to main cities like Reykjavik.
Okay. There's been nothing but problem after problem for Boeing. We've got the one that landed in Oregon with a panel missing from the underside of the fuselage, or that was missing. We saw the flames from an engine after takeoff in Houston, a lost wheel from San Francisco, one slide off the runway in Houston, hydraulic fluid leaving Sydney that was leaking, and that's not even the door blowing out. So what's your stance? What is happening? Is this an issue that's been going on for years and it's just now catching up with Boeing?
Well, I need to separate it out because most of the incidents you just talked about are not due to Boeing. That's airline maintenance and their other procedures. The door blowing out, the door panel blowing out on January 5th, that's definitely Boeing. That's been investigated not as an incident but an accident by the NTSB. It's reopened a criminal investigation into Boeing's behavior, which dates back to the two crashes of the Boeing 737 MAX in 2018 and 2019 that cost 346 lives. That's a different story, and that's the bigger picture. Hydraulic fluid leaking from a plane is no different than hydraulic fluid leaking from my car. These things happen every day. Let me put this in perspective because you're in Chicago. United Airlines this month will have 131,000 departures, and we've talked about five incidents in which nothing was life-threatening. I'll take those odds any day of the week. Now, does that mean United doesn't have to worry about its maintenance? No. Their CEO's already said they're going to refocus their efforts on it. They're also going to do an increase in pilot training about some of those operational issues about landing long on runways. But if you put things in proper perspective, I'm going to get on a plane every day this week, and I'm not going to worry about it. What I do worry about, Lisa, is the relationship that Boeing has with FAA and vice versa. The safety culture at Boeing that has not been properly inspected by the FAA, and that needs to be fixed right away.
I had the opportunity to do radio in Seattle years ago and had a few visits to Boeing in Seattle. And, you know, you have to get on a bicycle to even traverse the factories. It's so enormous. And, you know, it's just my concern that we've seen everything in America change when it comes to workers taking pride in their job and doing their job correctly. And I just feel like if there is a bigger issue at Boeing, it falls into the laps of the people who, you know, are actually on the line making these planes.
Absolutely. But remember, the fish stinks from the head. And if the regulatory agency supposedly enacting and enforcing safety isn't doing its job, and they're delegating the inspection to people who are on the payroll of Boeing, that's a flaming conflict of interest. That's the stuff that needs to be stopped. Boeing is a good company. It has always been a good company. I've been to that factory, as you have been to that factory. It's an amazing place to watch. However, the Boeing company can't be run by a CFO. It has to be run by a CEO with an adherence to safety. And that's the culture that needs to be fixed.
That's right, because the CFO, it's all about the bottom line, the money. The CEO hopefully would pay closer attention to the quality of the product, and that's what we all need. I want to talk about a few things that you're covering, like traveling with medicine and other things that you'll find at petergreenberg.com. And if you have a question for Peter, 312-981-7200. We're going to come back and continue our conversation, but first, Mary has a check on weather and traffic. Peter Greenberg is with us, the host of Eye on Travel. You can always check out everything he posts at petergreenberg.com. There was a comment about Boeing that came in on our text line, Peter. They said Boeing problems started when they subcontracted out the construction of these aircraft and circumnavigated union workers in Seattle and started creating non-union jobs in South Carolina. The 737 MAX doors are installed by subcontractors, not installed by Boeing. And you had made that point that's like, you know, an aftermarket piece that we would put on our car.
Well, you know what? It's true on the subcontracting. It started not with the 737 MAX, actually, but with the 787 Dreamliner that they are also building in South Carolina. And they had so many subcontractors that the delivery dates were so bad that they never could push the plane out on time. And of course, in the rush to get it into production, where is the inspection going on at the subcontracting level, let alone the main assembly line level? That's something that the investigators are looking at right now.
Yeah, that's the important part, the inspections. Allie's on the phone. Allie, your question is about the Dreamliner. What did you want to ask Peter Greenberg?
Okay, I'm flying out next week on a Dreamliner from Chicago to Maui, which is 9.5 hours. And, you know, I've always been a fan of United, but 10 things in 2 weeks is a little rattling. It was built in 2009. Is it, have they had any problems lately with the Dreamliner?
Nothing serious. I fly it all the time. And remember, United's maintenance base is right there in Chicago. I would not be worried at all about taking that flight.
I am excited because I am hosting a trip to Germany to the Chris Kindle Markets in Denver. Have you been, Peter? I've been. I thought it was magical. It was one of my favorite trips
yes.
ever. What would you like to say about that?
Well, I just went last December, and it was magical. And I ended up buying more things than I ever wanted to buy, and I ate more than I ever wanted to eat. But you know what? It's the spirit of the place. And depending on where you're going, in Austria and in Germany, you will not be disappointed. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I'm going to bring a bunch of WGN listeners with us. And you're right. It's like an eating tour because you get to those Chris Kindle markets and you're like, oh, my gosh, I need to try that. Okay.
The one thing you got to be careful about, it's the cider.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Glühwein. Yes, absolutely. Do you wear compression socks when you fly long flights?
You know, I probably should, but I don't. It's a matter of elevation. So if I can get my legs up on a long flight, or more importantly, at least twice during the flight, get up out of your seat, try not to get decapitated by the beverage cart, and just walk around the coach section of the plane, you need to do that.
On petergreenberg.com, there is an article about traveling with medicine. What can you share with us about that?
Well, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. Most people, and I think most people, are at least on some sort of a prescription medicine drug. It could even be one for a headache. And what you need to do before you ever leave home, especially if you're going overseas, is make sure your doctor sends you a letter that you can print out and carry with you that explains why you're on the drug and why he gave you the drug. But make sure that in that letter, he basically describes the drug by its generic name, not just its brand name, because it may not be known by that name overseas. And then some overzealous customs person will not be able to give you a problem. It's very simple.
Wow. So that's important to carry that paperwork. I've never done that.
I always do, and I always make sure that it's listed by its brand name and its generic name.
And you just contact your doctor's office and have them print something up?
Absolutely. Or even the nurse could do it. Just so you have some on somebody's letterhead saying, you know, it's Lisa or it's Peter. I prescribed this drug for them for this condition. This is the brand name. This is the generic name. If you have any questions, please call me. You'll be fine.
I was getting a little lackadaisical where I would just go, oh, the heck with it. I don't want to take up too much space. I'll just put them all in the same medicine bottle. And I shouldn't do that, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. What happens if you get bumped off a flight? It's so frustrating.
Well, you know, the good news is the airlines have gotten much better on their flight management systems when it comes to booking and overbooking. You'll see that Southwest Airlines has done a much better job in not overbooking the flights to begin with. JetBlue, which used to pride itself on never overbooking the flights, and they did it. Now they're back to not overbooking. And so the odds of you getting bumped off are getting reduced. However, if you're ever on a plane and they ask for volunteers, know that you may be in the driver's seat because it gets into a bidding war. And they may offer you a voucher of $200 and they'll put you on their next flight. If nobody raises their hand, the bidding goes up. Maybe it goes to 500, maybe it goes to 1,000. The smart travelers know that when it gets to about $2,500, that's when you make a run for the flight attendant and say, me, pick me. That is, of course, if you have flexibility in taking a later flight.
I have been in that situation. I saw it go up to $4,000, but I was headed to a music fest and I had limited time. And I was like, nope, I'm not the person giving up my seat. But yeah, it does get into a bidding war, which is definitely of interest. What is another travel headline this week that you want to share with people?
Well, let's talk about spring break for a second. Or maybe we shouldn't talk about spring break. But the smart spring breakers are not going to the usual suspect destinations. They're basically avoiding, most of the smart ones are avoiding Miami and Fort Lauderdale and some of the other Florida cities. They're looking at Georgia, they're looking at Alabama, and the really smart travelers are avoiding the United States and going down to Argentina or going to Turkey, where the U.S. dollar is so strong that it becomes such a buyer's market. That's your real holiday for spring break.
And Andrew's on line one. Andrew, you get the last question with Peter Greenberg today. What is it?
Hey, good afternoon, Peter. Enjoy all your information. My wife and I are going to Tuscany in September. When is the best time to start looking for airfare tickets?
Well, the good news is you're going during the magic month of September. It's the best time to go in Italy. And what you should do is you look about 54 days out. So somewhere around end of June, early July, that's when the airline algorithms will figure out what their load factors are. And if they're not very strong for September, that's when the fares go down. So pick about 54 days out, start looking.
Thank you so much for joining us, Peter. Have a great time in Vegas.
You got it, guys.
Steve's News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
WGN.